week 22 of the Premier League. This is the results show, and we'll get started on Saturday's games. The first of those was the early kickoff at the London Stadium. West Ham playing Arsenal, a good old-fashioned London derby. Arsenal was still without Ozil, not really quite sure what's going on there. West Ham had Nasri in the side. He's been a recent acquisition in the January window. He's coming off the back of a 13-month doping ban. Of course, he is an ex-gunner, so that should be interesting. So off we went, and it was good on the eye early on. Antonio looked very pacey on the right, and in response, Lacazette had two early efforts, one just wide, and the other that was dealt with by Fabianski. That was all within the first handful of minutes. Then on 20, Arsenal seemed to have the slight edge, but Hammers were bright in on the counter-attack. 21 minutes, a neat interchange involving the left wing-back, Kolasinac, and his cross was cut out. It was a good opportunity for the Gunners. 31 minutes. The combination of Arnautović, Nasri and Anderson started to flow. And as a result, it left Anderson with a chance on the edge of the penalty area. And his shot went just wide, but it was a fluid move. And I started to get the feeling that Nasri, who of course has had good pedigree, is going to be a great acquisition for the Hammers. He seemed to have that extra yard, that extra time to put his passes where he wanted them to, and a touch of class, to be honest. Of course, he was involved in the championship-winning Manchester City side under Pellegrini. 44 minutes. Rice, who was looking more and more confident, had a free header from a corner, and it went just wide. So we reached the break goalless. The Hammers, I would say, looking more potent up front. Arsenal relying really on their big guns, Lacazette or Aubameyang, to supply some magic. So into the second half, and within 2 minutes, Hammers got a corner. It was cleared, but picked up again by Anderson, who managed to wiggle his way to the byline, chipped the ball back across goal, and Nasri, with an absolutely delightful touch, put it in the path of Rice, who woofed the ball into the net. 1-0 Hammers, and the first goal that Rice has scored as a West Ham player. He was delighted. 56 minutes, another jinking run from Anderson was thwarted and went for a corner. And then Emery, looking a little bit miserable on the sidelines, introduced his subs. And one of them, Ramsey, certainly had an effect. Ramsey it was who worked hard to win the ball and crossed delightfully for Aubameyang, but his header went wide. That was on 62. Another move shortly after that, with Arsenal looking for that equaliser, Iwobi, but his effort also went wide. Arsenal seemed to be really lacking a little bit of Ozil magic, and the cutting edge pass, the final pass, was a miss. On 82 minutes though, Ramsey again created a lovely chance with a scoop flick, but the Kolasinac was offside as he put the ball across. Finally, the Gunners had a goal disallowed on 92 by Koscielny, but the replay showed he was clearly offside. So, the Hammers got their win, a deserved win, I think. So, West Ham, the winners by 1-0. To the Amex now. And Liverpool, the league leaders, were on the south coast. The match was a bit disappointing, I felt. Liverpool really weren't firing on all cylinders. Perhaps a little bit wary that they'd lost their last two. Brighton, I expected them to be much more up front, much more on the front foot. But they seemed to almost give Liverpool too much respect. Anyway, there were very few chances throughout the game. Eventually, though, on 59 minutes, Salah managed to jink his way into the penalty area. He bamboozled Gross, and Gross ended up pulling him down. And, of course, the penalty was easily converted by the Egyptian. So that was Liverpool 1 up. They really never looked in danger after that. Fabinho was in defence for Lovren, but alongside Van Dijk, they looked a tower of strength. As I say, Brighton rather disappointing. Murray, their top goal scorer, had only one half chance in the whole game. So it petered out to a 1-0 win for Liverpool. Okay, to Turf Moor. Bottom of the table clash, well, not really anymore. Fulham are next to bottom, but Burnley, having had two wins recently, are out of the bottom three. Anyway, the match got off to a great start. We were only 2 minutes in, and Fulham hit the ball down free over the top of midfield, and Schürrle, anticipating it brilliantly, collected the ball in mid-air, brought it down beautifully, and then lifted it into the net from 25 yards, and Fulham, astonishingly, were one up. After that, though, Burnley took control, and Wood hit a post, out jumping Rico, and on 28 minutes, Hendrick, back in the starting lineup, was on the right, cut inside. He hit the ball goalwards, and it hit Bryant and arrowed into the net. It went down as an own goal, but when one looked at the replay, it was goal-bound from Hendrick, so maybe he'll want to claim it. The result, one each. And then, just a few minutes later, crazily, we saw the second own goal. Again, Hendrick on the left side this time sent in a cross, and the Fulham defender managed to get his head to it, but only to see it end up in his own net. So, a courtesy of two own goals, Burnley were in front 2-1. And anyway, after that, they controlled the match really. Vieti was denied by Tchaikovsky on the line early on in the second, but after that there was little to report other than Heaton, who denied a second strike from Vieti. Burnley went coasted to the finish line. They've got their third win in a row, and they won this one by 2-1. To Stamford Bridge and Benitez's Newcastle in town. Of course, Benitez once again returning to a club where he was the manager for a short period. Newcastle, well, what can you say about them? They look like they're going to struggle right from the off. And Chelsea weren't in particularly hot form either. But after 9 minutes, a long ball from David Luiz found Pedro, who ran onto the ball delightfully and chipped the ball over Dubrovna, and it was 1-0 to Chelsea. Shortly after that, there was an opportunity for Newcastle, a flick onto Perez, but his effort went wide. Newcastle came more into it in the first half after that, and finally they got the reward on 40 minutes when Clark headed in across from a corner. So it was 1-1, but didn't stay that way for very long. Into the second half, and Chelsea on the front foot, and basically a sweeping move led to the ball arriving at Willian's feet on 57 minutes, out on the left, and of course he loves cutting inside, and poor defending enabled him to do that. His shot then curved in typically into the top right hand corner, a cracking shot, and Chelsea were up by 2-1. Willian was denied his second by Dubrovka later in the half, but basically Chelsea after that never looked in serious doubt. They ended the game comfortable winners by 2-1. So to the King Power Stadium, and Southampton were the visitors, and Hasenhüttl, he certainly made a difference at Southampton, and so they came into this game with an air of confidence. Leicester had been stumbling of late, and they got off to a dreadful start when Mendy made a sloppy challenge on Long, which then led to a penalty, and Ward-Prowse converted. That was 1-0 for Southampton on 11 minutes. Right, Leicester's response. Well, Morgan had a shot cleared off the line, and Valerie had a second yellow following a foul on Al Brighton. And so they were down to 10 men, Southampton that is, into the second half. And in added time in the first half, Long managed to break clear, and a delightful chip over the advancing Schmeichel, and Southampton were 2-0 up at the break and looking good for it. Well, Poyle's been under a little bit of pressure. He sent out his troops, and they certainly started to look much more purposeful. And on 58 minutes, Ndidi managed to score for the Foxes to bring it back to 2-1. It was a little fortuitous following Pereira's byline cross, hitting Ndidi on the knee, but it was enough to trickle into the net. That was 58 minutes. Anyway, Saints hung on for a much needed win, 2-1, and they're looking on the up. Trouble for Poyle at Leicester, I think. So to Selhurst Park, and Watford were the visitors. Now, Watford have only lost one in the last six, so clearly having some form. De La Feu and Pereira managed to hit the woodwork twice in the same move on 3 minutes. Looked ominous for Palace. Their first raid on Watford's goal was in the 37th minute. And then a minute later, a crazy bit of play led to Cathcart getting the last touch. That's Watford's defender, by the way. That was after Decore's attempted clearance had rebounded off him into the net. So fortuitously, Palace were one up. They survived to the half-time break. And into the second half, they were clearly pressing for a second. But then that man, Cathcart, managed to find the net at the right end by heading in from a corner on 67. And Sahar was trying to unpick the defence, but
The final touch was astray, and Watford were clearly looking like favourites for a winner. They put on Cleverly as a sub, and he performed some magic on 74 minutes, hitting a dream volley from just inside the box that hit the roof of the net, and so Watford were 2-1 up. A late rally by Palace found Foster in great form, and so Watford arrived at the final whistle, 2-1 winners. Bottom of the table clash at the Cardiff Stadium. Huddersfield, the bottom club, were there. And I'm glad I didn't pay to see this one. The first half was absolutely dreadful, completely forgettable. The highlight of the match was a penalty decision into the second half, initially given and then reversed. De Potro was forced a late save from Edridge, and the match ended goalless. I'm not quite sure where Huddersfield go from here. I suspect it's back to the Championship. So, to Sunday's matches. We opened up at Goodison Park, Everton at home to Bournemouth. Bournemouth really struggling. Team news, Walcott and Mina were on the bench for Everton. Wilson is injured, so King was up front for Bournemouth. Early chance for Bournemouth on 13 minutes. Brooks, probably their best player currently. He timed his run perfectly from a through pass, but his effort hit a post. The crowd were ill at ease at Goodison, and every time there was a stray pass, the crowd let the players know with their booing. The atmosphere not conducive, really. But Everton did improve as the half progressed. On at 38 minutes, though, Begovic had still to make a save in the Cherries' goal. Conditions were pretty blustery. On 41 minutes, then, Everton's best effort, Keane's header, shaved the crossbar. But overall, a subdued first half. Goalless at the break. Into the second then, and Everton opened up much more. They were positive. Richarlison forced a goal line clearance early on, and then on 60 minutes, Zouma headed in from a corner following a clearance. And so Everton were relieved to be one up. On 64, Bournemouth's response, King scraped the edge of the post after Everton lost possession. Everton's Gomez was lucky to be on the pitch. A number of his challenges had been very dubious, and he only got a yellow for a crude challenge that should have been a red. On 76 minutes, Richarlison had a diving header from Sigurdsson's cross that went just wide. With the time running out for Bournemouth, they pressed forward and there was a counter-attack in the last minute of extra time, and Calvert-Lewin converted Lookman's cross, and the Everton faithful went home happy with a 2-0 win. Big problems for Eddie Howe. So to the match of the round at Wembley. Spurs versus Man U. Could Solskjaer make it six in a row? That was most of the talk. And what of Spurs, who come off yet another win in the week in the EFL semi-final against Chelsea? Lukaku was still on the bench. Young and Shaw were in at fullback. First 5 minutes was very cagey. A very high press from United, and Spurs couldn't get any rhythm at all. On 8 minutes, though, they managed to break Winks, put in Bison, but his effort went wide. Both attacks were looking pacey. On 10 minutes, Lingard had a half chance, but his effort was high and wide. And 17 minutes, Martial tested Lloris. The match was great on the eye, both attacks looking potent. On 25 minutes, Kane got in the action, but his shot was blocked. And another effort by Kane on 30 minutes was ruled offside. So we got to a minute from the break, and then an absolutely high-class pass from Pogba, 30 yards effort, put in Rashford, who was too pacey for Davis, and he hit a shot which crept in the corner. It was a brilliant move, a brilliant finish. Lloris couldn't get a finger to it, and United were one up. They arrived at the Blake at 1-0 into the second half, and it has to be said that Spurs went for it. They certainly have all the talent up front. 48 minutes, Kane's shot was blocked by De Gea, and this started a series of saves from the United keeper. He pushed away an alley header wide, and he was constantly involved. Although I have to say that most of the efforts were relatively comfortable for a goalkeeper of his class. However, he's still got to perform the business. United also had their moments. 56 minutes. Lloris got in the action, forcing a Pogba effort over the bar. Anyway, so as we progressed, the goalkeeper, as I say, De Gea, was very impressive. And Spurs, well, they got more and more frustrated. Another terrific stop from De Gea on 69 minutes from Alderweireld, following a corner. And he again foiled Ali, pushing his effort ride on 73. And finally, on 85, he kept out Kane. I haven't covered all the efforts there. I have to say, as the final whistle went, I felt absolutely elated. It was a very good performance by United. Okay, yeah, they were on the back foot in the second half, but defensively they looked pretty good. Spurs' efforts were sort of no gimmies. They had to create them, and their shooting boots were a little bit off. De Gea has to take the credit for keeping a blank, a clean sheet. But anyway, Spurs 0, Manchester United 1. United are level on points with Arsenal now, who are in fifth. So to the Monday night game at the Etihad. Manchester City at home to Wolves. Now, many of you may recall that last year when Wolves were flying high in the Championship, they met Man City in the Carabao Cup, and the match went to penalty kicks. City won it, but Wolves were on a high, and so we wondered how would it go tonight with City back on top form. Well, it didn't go very well for the Molineux side. And on 9 minutes, a great pass from Laporta put Sane away, flying down the left, and his cross was met by Jesus in the box, in for Aguero, and that was 1-0. 6 minutes later, Silva's effort on the edge of the box chipped away at the bar, and then a reckless tackle from Bowley led to a red card. So even more difficult now for Wolves, down to 10 men. On 35, Wolves did have a good chance to equalise, but the final pass went astray. And then on 38 minutes, a challenge from Bennett brought down Sterling, and who stepped up to take the penalty? Well, it was Jesus, and it was 2-0. Into the second half, I was amazed to see Asani effort completely miscued on 50, but 70 minutes, De Bruyne's cross, a ferocious cross, hit a defender and went in the net, and City were three up. That's how it finished. Man City keeping up the pressure on Liverpool in second place, 4 points behind. As mentioned earlier, United are now level on points with Arsenal. A few points back from Chelsea, who of course are in fourth. Huddersfield are still at the bottom. The goal of the week. Well, an interesting choice. Well, not really. It's Marcus Rashford for his effort in completing a delightful move from Pogba that sealed the 1-0 win at Wembley. Okay, that's your results show. See you next week.